Well, hello and welcome to our first new set of podcasts leading up to Easter. Over these next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about different passages in the Bible that really begin to prepare our hearts for what is at the very center of our faith, the great events of Easter, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to begin in a very obvious place in John's Gospel in chapter 3. In a moment, Edry's going to read a portion of that scripture. But before she does, and before she reads about God's love, she's just going to say a little about a bit about a personal testimony.
Hello, everybody. We're going to read John 3:16, which says, God so loved the world. The love of God became very special to me just after I got married. In 1980, I was a young, enthusiastic Christian. I became pregnant with our first baby, who we are going to call Nathan. I miscarried at 17 weeks, and for the first time, a slither of darkness and emptiness gripped my soul. I distinctly remember being very aware of John 3:16, the love of God. God had willingly given his son that we might live eternally. His love gripped me through those painful days. He had loaned us Nathan for a few weeks. I had to learn to grasp things loosely, not to clutch tightly onto anything. God's love is amazing, much deeper and broader than we realize. I've had other chicken's darkness since I was 22, but through everything, God's love has shone brightly and steadfastly. I know that I will see Nathan one day. Right, let's read John chapter 3, verses 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed the name of God's one and only Son.
Thank you, Edry. When I was a student, I had to study the works of a theologian called Karl Barth. I wouldn't recommend him. I don't think he was an evangelical, but he wrote extensively, 14 volumes, 2.5 million words. It was said of Barth that if you could write something in 100 words, he would write 10,000. He was once asked, what's the most profound thought you've ever had? He thought for a moment, and then he said, it's this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I guess John 3:16 is written on all our hearts. It's the best known verse maybe in the whole Bible. It's the simplest, fullest, clearest, most profound description of God's love for us, a love which is free and spontaneous and lavish, a love that yearns and seeks and saves and keeps, an infinite, intimate, intentional love. And in the span of just a few words, Jesus explains that love and tells us four things about it. He tells us the source of that love. It's the love of the Father. God so loved the world. We often think of the love of Jesus. The Son of God loved me and gave himself up for me. But actually, the one that is behind it all, the one who drives it, is the Father. This is love, that God loved us and gave his Son for us. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast, beyond all measure. Sometimes we think of God's love and we forget that this is the thing that drives everything. Every single blessing that we ever have comes from the hand of our Father. We have a gracious, kind, and loving Father. That's the source of love. Look at the sacrifice of love. God so loved the world. That word so speaks of an intensity, doesn't it? So loved the world that he gave Who did he give? Well, he gave his one and only son. John's gospel begins with an open secret. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God, fully, completely God, not like God, not a God, not nearly God. He was fully God. And yet he was a person separate from the Father. He was with God. That word with means towards. It speaks of an eternal, intimate relationship and fellowship. From the age of 14, he knew that God was his Father, and he had to be about his Father's business. Over and over again, he speaks of God as my Father, that intimate relationship. And it's that intimate relationship that drives his cross, his sacrifice on the cross. The Father gave his Son, the one he loved more than anything else, and he gave him to crucifixion. Jesus gave up the song of angels for the spit of soldiers, the streets of gold for the sting of nails, the adoration of heaven in order to die in pain under a darkening sky. That's the sacrifice. That's the measure of God's love. Look at the scope, thirdly, of God's love. He loved the world that is full of rejection and rebellion and ruin, the world which is full of violence and hate and racism, the world which is full of greed and idolatry, the world that has fallen far short of the glory of God. And yet he loved that world. He came into that world. He not only has the whole world in his hands, he has the whole world on his heart. And Jesus comes to die for people from every tribe and tongue and nation. For all who believe, he comes to die and to take their place. What an amazing grace. What an amazing love. And then finally, the sufficiency of that love, that whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Not perish means to be cut off from God forever. You take a flower and it sucks up its life from the earth. You cut the flower and it stays beautiful for a while, but then it withers and fades and dies. We are meant to be in relationship with God. Cut off from God, we wither and we fade and we die. We'll never experience that if we know Christ, because we will not perish, but we will experience eternal life, life which is forever and ever, in the presence, in the wonderful glow of the love of God. So as we prepare for Easter, let's stay close to the cross. In it, we will find comfort for our sorrow and courage to stand firm. We'll find a challenge to serve God and inspiration to take up our own cross. We'll find hope in the face of death and joy, which will be our strength. We're going to pray together now. Edrie, please lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful verse that, although familiar to us, contains many amazing truths. Your love is incredible. We dare not hope to compete with it, but help us to emulate your love, even in a feeble way, to bring you glory and honour. We do love you. Please increase our love, so that today we may demonstrate it in our heart to others, to reflect your love and glory as we live with Christ in our hearts. We ask in your name.